Further Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 34, Navadvip, Part 3, Lord Chaitanya's Challenge to the Chandkazi on Cow Killing. In a friendly way, Lord Chaitanya said, "Sir, I have come to your house as your guest, but upon seeing me, you have hidden yourself in your room. What kind of etiquette is this? Let me explain, for you have come to my house in a very angry mood. To pacify you, I did not come before you immediately, but kept myself hidden. But now that you have become pacified, I have come to you, and so it is my good fortune to receive a guest like your honor. In our village relationship, Nilambara Chakravarti Thakur was my uncle, and such a relationship is stronger than any bodily relationship. Nilambara Chakravarti is your maternal grandfather, and so by this relationship, you are my nephew. So when a nephew is very angry, his maternal uncle is tolerant. And when the maternal uncle commits an offense, well, the nephew does not take it seriously." In this way, the Kazi and Lord Chaitanya talked with each other with various indications, but no outsider could understand the inner meaning of their conversation. Lord Chaitanya then said, "My dear uncle, I have come to your home just to ask you some questions."
"Yes, you are welcome. Just tell me what is in your mind."
"You drink cow's milk. Therefore, the cow is your mother, and the bull produces grains for your maintenance, and therefore he is your father. So since the bull and cow are your father and mother, how can you kill and eat them? What kind of religious principle is this? And on what strength are you so daring that you commit such sinful activities? As you have your scriptures called the Vedas and Puranas, we also have our scripture known as the Holy Quran. And according to the Quran, there are two ways of advancement. One, through increasing the propensity to enjoy, and the other through decreasing the propensity to enjoy. And on the path of decreasing attachment or nivritti marga, the killing of animals is prohibited, while on the path of material activities, there is regulation for killing cows. And if such killing is done under the guidance of scripture, then there is no sin." As a learned scholar, the Kazi challenged Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "In your Vedic scriptures, there is an injunction for killing a cow, and on the strength of this injunction, great sages performed sacrifices involving cow killing." Refuting the Kazi's statement, Lord Chaitanya immediately replied, "No, the Vedas clearly enjoin that cows should not be killed, and therefore every Hindu, whoever he may be, avoids indulging in cow killing. Now in the Vedas and Puranas, there are injunctions declaring that if one can revive a living being, then one can kill it for experimental purposes. Therefore the great sages sometimes killed old cows and by chanting Vedic hymns brought them back to life for perfection. The killing and rejuvenation of such old and invalid cows was truly not killing, but actually an act of great benefit. Formerly, there were powerful brahmanas who could make such experiments using Vedic hymns. But now, because of the age of Kali, brahmanas are not so powerful. Therefore, the killing of cows and bulls for rejuvenation is forbidden. Ashvamedhang gavalambhang sannyasam vala paitrikam devarena sutot pating kalau pancha vivarjayet. In this age of Kali, five acts are forbidden: the offering of a horse in sacrifice, the offering of a cow in sacrifice, the acceptance of the order of sannyas, the offering of oblations of flesh to the forefathers, and a man's begetting children in the wife of his brother. Since you Muslims cannot bring killed cows back to life, then you are responsible for killing them. Therefore, you are all going to hell, and there is no way for your deliverance. For cow killers are condemned to rot in hellish life for as many thousands of years as there are hairs on the body of the cow. There are many mistakes and illusions in your scriptures. Their compilers, not knowing the essence of knowledge, gave orders that were against reason and argument. After hearing these statements by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Qazi, his argument stunned, could not put forward any more words. Thus, after due consideration, the Qazi accepted defeat and then spoke as follows: My dear Nimai Pandit, what you have said is all true, for our scriptures have developed only recently, and they are certainly not logical or philosophical. I know that our scriptures are full of imagination and mistaken ideas, yet, because I am a Muslim, I accept them for the sake of my community, despite their insufficient support. The reasoning and arguments in the scriptures of the meat-eaters are not very sound. So upon hearing this statement, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and inquired from Chand Qazi even further. Purports to this section by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Previously in India, even in the interior villages, all the Hindu and Muslim communities used to live very peacefully by establishing a relationship between them. The young men called the elderly members of the village by the name Chacha or Kaka, meaning uncle, and men of the same age called each other Dada or brother. The relationship was also very friendly. There were even invitations from Muslim houses to Hindu houses and from Hindu houses to Muslim houses. Both the Hindus and the Muslims accepted the invitation to go to another's house to attend ceremonial functions. Why, even until 50 or 60 years ago, the relationship between Hindus and Muslims was very friendly, and there was no disturbance. And we do not find any Hindu-Muslim riots in the history of India, even during the days of the Muslims' rule over the country. Conflict between Hindus and Muslims was created by polluted politicians, especially foreign rulers, and thus the situation became gradually so degraded that India was divided into Hindustan and Pakistan. Fortunately, the remedy to unite not only the Hindus and Muslims, but all communities and all nations can still be implemented by the Hare Krishna movement on the strong basic platform of love of Godhead. Everyone can understand that we drink the milk of cows and take the help of bulls in producing agricultural products. Therefore, since our real father gives us food grains and our mother gives us milk with which to live, the cow and bull are to be considered our father and mother. According to Vedic civilization, there are seven mothers, of which the cow is one. Therefore,
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu challenged the Muslim Qazi by saying, "What kind of religious principle do you follow by killing your father and mother just to eat them?" In any civilized human society, no one would dare kill the father and mother for the purpose of eating them. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu challenged the system of Muslim religion as patricide and matricide. In the Christian religion also, a principal commandment is, "Thou shalt not kill." Nevertheless, Christians violate this rule. They are very expert in killing and in opening slaughterhouses. In our Krishna consciousness movement, our first provision is that no one should be allowed to eat any kind of flesh. It does not matter whether it is cow's flesh or goat's flesh, but we especially stress the prohibition against cow's flesh because, according to Shastra, the cow is our mother. Thus, the Muslims' cow killing was challenged by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chand Qazi agreed to talk with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the strength of the scriptures. According to Vedic scripture, if one can support one's position by quoting from the Vedas, then one's argument is perfect. Similarly, when the Muslims support their position with quotations from the Quran, their arguments are also authorized. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised the question of the Muslims' cow killing and bull killing, Chand Qazi came to the standard of understanding from his scriptures. The word Shastra is derived from the dhatu or verbal root shas. Shas dhatu pertains to controlling or ruling. A government's ruling through force or weapons is called shastra. Thus, whenever there is ruling, either by weapons or by injunctions, the shas dhatu is the basic principle. Between shastra, ruling through weapons, and shastra, ruling through the injunctions of the scriptures, the better is shastra. Our Vedic scriptures are not ordinary law books of human common sense. They are the statements of factually liberated persons unaffected by the imperfectness of the material senses. Shastra must be correct always, not sometimes correct and sometimes incorrect. In the Vedic scriptures, the cow is described as a mother. Therefore, she is a mother for all time. It is not, as some rascals say, that in the Vedic age the cow was a mother, but the cow is not a mother in this age. If Shastra is an authority, the cow is a mother always. She was a mother in the Vedic age, and she is a mother in this age as well. So if one acts according to the injunctions of Shastra, one is freed from the reactions of sinful activity. For example, the propensities for eating flesh, drinking wine, and enjoying sex are all natural to the conditioned soul. The path of such enjoyment is called pravritti marg. The Shastra says, pravrittir esha bhutanam nivrittistu mahaphala. One should not be carried away by the propensities of defective conditioned life. One should be guided by the principles of the Shastras. A child's propensity is to play all day long, but it is the injunction of the Shastras that the parents should take care to educate their children. The Shastras are there just to guide the activities of human society. But because people do not refer to the instructions of Shastras, which are free from defects and imperfections, they are therefore misguided by so-called educated teachers and leaders who are all full of the deficiencies of conditioned life. In the Vedic scriptures, there are concessions for meat eaters. It is said that if one wants to eat meat, one should kill a goat before the goddess Kali and then eat its meat. Meat eaters are not allowed to purchase meat or flesh from a market or slaughterhouse. There are no sanctions for maintaining regular slaughterhouses to satisfy the tongues of the meat eaters. And as far as cow killing is concerned, that is completely forbidden. Since the cow is considered a mother, how could the Vedas allow cow killing? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that the Qazi's statement was faulty. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 18, there is a clear injunction that cows should be protected. Krishi Goraksha Vanijyam Vaishya Karma Swabhavajam. The duty of the Vaishyas is to produce agricultural products, trade, and give protection to cows. Therefore, it is a false statement that the Vedic scriptures contain injunctions permitting cow killing. In our practical preaching work, we meet many Christians who talk about statements of the Bible. When we question whether God is limited or unlimited, Christian priests say that God is unlimited. But when we question why that unlimited God should have only one son and not unlimited sons, they are unable to answer. Similarly, from a scientific point of view, the answers of the Old Testament, New Testament, and Quran to many questions have changed. But a Shastra cannot change simply at a person's whim. All Shastras must be free from the four defects of human nature. The statements of Shastras must be correct for all time. The Shastras of the Yavanas or meat eaters are not eternal scriptures. They have been fashioned recently, and sometimes they contradict one another. The scriptures of the Yavanas are three: the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Quran. Their compilation has a history. They are not eternal like the Vedic knowledge. Therefore, although they have their arguments and reasonings, they are not very sound and transcendental. As such, modern people, advanced in science and philosophy, deem these scriptures unacceptable. Sometimes Christian priests come to us inquiring, why are our followers neglecting our scriptures and accepting yours? But when we ask them, your Bible says, do not kill. Why then are you killing so many animals daily? This they cannot answer. Some of them imperfectly answer that the animals have no souls. But then we ask them, how do you know that animals have no souls? Animals and children are of the same nature. Does this mean that the children of human society also have no souls? According to the Vedic scriptures, within the body is the owner of the body, the soul. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Dehinosmin yatha dehe, kaumaram yauvanang jara, tatha dehantara praptir, thiras tatra namuhyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Because the soul is within the body changes through so many forms. There is a soul within the body of every living creature, whether it be animal, tree, bird, or human being, and the soul is transmigrating from one type of body to another. When the scriptures of the Yavanas, namely the Old Testament, New Testament, and Quran, cannot properly answer inquisitive followers, naturally, those advanced in scientific knowledge and philosophy lose faith in such scriptures. The Chand Qazi was a very intelligent person, for he had full knowledge of Lord Chaitanya's position. Recorded January 11, 2022 by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat.